But if you'll open your Bible, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 tonight. I'm reading again in your hearing verse 23 and 24. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. In verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." This is Paul's benediction to the church at Thessalonica, recorded in his first epistle to this church. The word benediction means to pronounce, to proclaim a blessing upon another person. Paul's blessing the church here. He's praying for them a blessing. He's proclaiming upon them a blessing. He's desiring a blessing. He is declaring this blessing on the people of God. And it is the blessing, this benediction is the blessing of how God works in our lives. And so I have been preaching these few nights on the blessing of God's work in us. You know, God's work in us is a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing. I want to tell you, it's a blessing to be saved. I'm saved and I'm happy tonight. I'm saved and I'm glad of it. I am blessed tonight. And there's no greater blessing than knowing, experiencing, being aware and conscious of the inner working of God in our lives and all of our parts. And so last night I preached two things to you. I'll remind them quickly. Don't you dislike it when a series preacher takes 20 minutes of his sermon to preach everything he's already preached? Don't you sometimes want to say, "Get on with it, brother. We were here last night. We heard you. Go on and tell us what you came to say and let us go. I'm not going to preach 15 minutes. If you weren't here, you just weren't here. Better get online and listen to the sermons." Amen. I'm getting on with it. I said two things last night. Number one, I said something about the sanctity of God's work in our life. The blessing of the sanctity of God's work in our life. Paul's blessing he proclaims upon them is that God would sanctify them wholly in their whole spirit and soul and body. That word sanctify denotes the sanctity of it. And we looked at that sanctifying work and how God works to change and transform us in our spirit, our soul, and our body. And then I closed last night by looking not only at the blessing of the sanctity of God's work in us, but the blessing of God's surety. The surety of His work in us. Verse 24 magnifies that surety. "Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it." Thank God for the faithfulness of God. Thank God for His promise and the surety of His work in our life. If God begins His saving work in you, in your spirit, soul, and body, He's going to do it. He's going to perform it. He's going to preserve you blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is going to do it because God is faithful. That means that God is not going to fail to sanctify me wholly in my whole spirit, soul, and body. So what are we going to do with them people that claim to be saved, but they're always getting worse and worse and worse? They're changing all right, but they're changing for the worse and the worse, and their spirit's getting worse, and their soul's getting worse, and their body's getting worse, and they're always getting worse. Well, I want to tell you about these people that claim to be saved, but they're always, all the time, getting worse and worse and worse. One of two things is true. Number one, either God is unfaithful, or number two, they're unsaved. Now, which one do you think that it is? I want to tell you, God's faithful tonight, and He's going to do His work in the life of those in whom He is working in their spirit, soul, and body. Now, let me give you number three and number four tonight, and I'll be done. There's not only the blessing of the sanctity of God's work in us and the blessing of the surety of God's work in us, but I want to call your attention back to verse 23 and magnify the blessing of the symmetry of God's work in us. I want you to notice verse 23, the symmetry or the order or symmetry of how God is going to work in a person's life. Notice it again in verse number 23 when he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." I'm very interested in that order or that symmetry of the Lord's working. It is spirit first, then your soul, and then your body. Did you notice that in the text? If you didn't, it's on the wall. Spirit number one, soul number two, body number three. That is not coincidental or incidental that is there in that order. There is a meaning in this order. There is a symmetry to this. There is an order and there is a purpose in God working first of all in a man's spirit and then in a man's soul and then in a man's body. Now, I don't know how it is for y'all. I know my spirit, my experience is limited and I can't speak for everybody and I can't speak for everybody else's experience, but this has been my experience. Anytime that I have ever heard 1 Thessalonians 5:23 quoted, I have always, without fail, Brother Jeremy, heard it quoted in this light, that God is going to sanctify you wholly in your whole body, soul, and spirit. That's the way, Brother Earl, I have heard that verse quoted my entire life. I never have heard anybody quote it right. It's always that we are body, soul, and spirit. You ever notice that? Maybe y'all probably get it right and quote it right. Y'all probably heard it quoted. I never have heard it quoted right yet. It's always reversed. The order is reversed. The symmetry is out of line. And it's always quoted body, soul, and spirit. Now, I want to tell you that's wrong. That's not what the text says. The text says that God does His work and He's going to sanctify you wholly in your whole spirit, soul, and body. Now, there's more to what I'm preaching tonight than just semantics or splitting hairs tonight and making a big deal about nothing. I think there is something to this. I think there's something to the order of God's working that we ought to pay attention to. And I think the fact that we always want to look at this and quote this, recite this in reverse order is a telltale to one of the great problems in our life. And the problem is we're all living in reverse tonight. We're all living lives that are out of order. We don't have the proper symmetry. We don't have the proper order in our life. The order of God's working in our life is from the inside out. Do you know how God wants me to live every day and every moment of my life? From the inside out. When we quote this verse that God works in our body, soul, and spirit, we're reversing the order. And we do that because in our mind, that's how we're living. We do this, I think, a lot of times, body, soul, and spirit. I think we do that just instinctively. I don't think we realize we're doing it. I think we're just telling off on ourselves and how we're all really living our life. And we're living our life body first, soul second, and spirit last. We're not living from the inside out. Most of us are living from the outside in. And we live like our body is the number one thing. Just about everybody I know tonight lives like their body is number one. Now, I want to tell you, and I came to tell you tonight, that your body is not number one. It's not even number two. It's number three tonight. I came to tell you that your spirit is number one, and as long as you're living your life as if your body is number one, you're going to have problems, and your life is going to be out of order. Have you noticed that we live in a society today where just about everybody's got some kind of disorder? You ever notice that? I mean, everything that's wrong with everybody in society, they've got some disorder. They got eating disorders. They got sleeping disorders. They've got sexual disorders. They've got mental disorders. They've got emotional disorders. I mean, we've got a disorder for everything. Everybody's got a disorder. You know what I came to tell you tonight? That's true. The problem, though, is not that you have a sleeping disorder or an eating disorder or any of these other disorders. We've all got a disorder tonight, and it is the disorder in our being. It's the disorder of us being out of order according to God's plan. It's the disorder of trying to live your life body, soul, and spirit rather than living your life spirit, soul, and body. It's the disorder of getting things out of order and getting your body in the number one place in your life. And so let me just try to prove to you tonight for a moment that just about every one of us live our life body first. You know how conscious we are? I mean, think about what you do for your body every day. If you don't think that you're focused on your body and consumed with your body, just think about how the entirety of your day is consumed with what you're going to do for and about and with that body of yours. You know, we're consumed with feeding this body, aren't we? I mean, we're going to make sure, if we don't do nothing today, we're going to make sure we feed this body. It needs feeding, don't it? Three times a day, four, five, six snacks in between. This body needs feeding. We're going to feed it. And then we're going to beautify it, aren't we? And we're going to wash it. And we're going to soap it. And we're going to shampoo it. Isn't that right? We're going to comb it. We're going to make it up with some makeup. We're going to put some clothes on it. We're going to put some socks and we're going to put some shoes on it. And we're going to be very conscious throughout every day of our life, of our body and the needs that it has. And if you're not real careful, you're going to be living your whole life like your body is number one, numero uno. Your whole life's about your body. You ever think about things that we have for our body? I mean, you know, there's just a plethora of things. You've got things on you. You've got things at your house right now. I mean, you spend a ton of money every week taking care of your body. You buy food for it. You buy clothes for it. You buy shoes for it. You buy shampoo for it. You buy soap for it. You got everything in the world for your body. You've got doctors for your body. Is that right? You've got medicines for your body. I mean, anything that your body could ever want or need, you've got it. You intend to get it, and you're going to take care of your body. Now, I want to ask you, what do you have for your spirit and your soul? And let me ask you, how much care and concern have you given to your spirit and your soul today? Have you exercised any concern over your spirit and soul like you have for your body today? Brother Earl, I'm convinced. I hope I ain't preaching Greek to you tonight, but I'm convinced most people are living their whole existence on one-third of their being while they're neglecting the other two-thirds of their being. They live like they're a body and only a body. Their whole focus is on their outer life, and they're completely ignoring and neglecting every aspect of their inner life. Your body is not number one. When your body is number one and you're living on the basis of your body, everything in your life is going to be disordered and out of order, and you're going to suffer the consequences of that. I want to tell you something about your body tonight. Your body makes an excellent servant, but it makes a horrible master. Just about everybody I know, about every church member I know, their body is number one, and their body rules over their soul and their spirit. You listening to me? I believe that's why God has warned us in the Scriptures about how to deal with this old body of ours. You ever notice that that word flesh is used throughout the New Testament most of the time with a negative connotation, the flesh? And sometimes that word flesh refers to the physical body, and sometimes that word flesh in the New Testament refers to that sin nature and that old nature. Now I want to tell you, the body and the old nature are not necessarily two things that are the same, but they are two things that go together. They are placed together. Do you know why that is? Why both the body and the old nature are called the flesh? I believe, Brother Gene, it's because the body is the throne of that old nature. The body is where sin wants to reign. Is that what Romans chapter number 6 says? That sin wants to try to reign in your members. It wants to try to reign and rule over your body. Now, here's the problem. If you're going to live body first and make your life about your body, and you're going to be consumed about feeding it and clothing it and doing this and that for it, your problem is going to be that is the seed of sin in your body, and therefore sin is going to be ruling and reigning in you, and you don't want your soul and your spirit taking orders and cues from your body tonight. I think that's why God's give us some guidance about how to deal with this body of ours. I think that's why God tells us, you know, that we ought to fast. Y'all know that's in the Bible? Not going to get a lot of amens on that, amen? Y'all know that is in the Bible. Y'all know that is in the New Testament, don't you? You know God has many objectives in the discipline of fasting. And they're all spiritual in nature. And I can sit up here and name you many, many, many things that God will use fasting to do in your life. But I'm convinced, Brother Gerald, one of the key things about fasting, one of the key issues of fasting in our life is bringing the body into subjection, showing our body that you're not the boss. You're not going to rule and reign over me. I'm not going to just feed you because you say you have to eat four times a day. You understand? Y'all ever notice that your body is like a spoiled brat kid that'll pitch a fit and carry on to get what it wants?
Y'all ever seen a kid do that? Pitch a fit, scream, cry, act a total brat and a fool and do whatever. And then everybody says, well, you might as well give him what he wants. He's going to be a fool until he gets what he wants. Just go and give it to him. Y'all ever seen that with a kid? Now, I don't espouse that philosophy, okay? But I sure see it a lot from place to place that I go. I see that a lot. You know what your body will be if it tries to rule and reign, Brother Kermit? It'll be like a spoiled brat kid that'll always be whining and crying and screaming and caring all about what it wants to eat and what it wants to do and how much it wants to sleep and who it wants to sleep with and all that kind of stuff. And if you're not careful, if you try to live your life body first, your body will convince your soul that there's nothing you can do about it and your soul will be operating this way. Well, he might as well give the body what he wants. He ain't going to quit screaming and crying and carrying on until he gets what he wants. So whatever he wants to eat, just give it to him. Whoever he wants to sleep with, may as well just let him sleep with her. May as well let her sleep with him. Just go on, because that body's going to get its way and do what it wants. You know what God says? He says you need to do some fasting. Here's the way Paul put it in 1 Corinthians 9:27, to bring your body under subjection. You know what needs to happen in your life with your body? It needs to be brought under authority. It needs to be brought into subjection to the spirit and the soul. Your body doesn't need to be number one. Your body needs to be number three. One of the objectives in fasting is learning to say to your body, no, I'm not going to do what you say. You don't rule over me. You don't run me. I think that's why you ought to fast. I think that's why you ought to exercise. I think y'all do all those things, not just for health reasons and health purposes and things like that, but for the spiritual benefit of bringing your body into subjection and reminding your body on a regular basis that you are not the boss of me. You will be the servant of this vessel, of this human being, but you're not going to be the master of it. You're going to have to learn how to get in your place. Okay? Here's why that's important. Number one, this. Your body is not, what does it say? Your spirit and your soul and your body. What's first? Your spirit's first. You know, there's a reason for that. Your spirit is to be number one. Your soul is always number two. Your body is to be number three. And here's the point. Your soul is always going to be caught in the middle. If your body's number one, then your body's going to be ruling over your soul and your soul over your spirit. But if your spirit is number one, your spirit is going to be ruling over your soul and your soul is going to be ruling over your body. And you don't want your soul taking cues from your body, the seed of sin. You want your soul taking its cues and orders from the spirit, which is the seat and the throne of God inside of you. Your spirit is to be number one. You are to be a spiritual man and woman. The spirit is where God makes His throne. The spirit is where God dwells. The spirit is where God works and moves. The spirit is where God speaks. The spirit is where the Spirit of God manifests Himself and makes Himself known. Your spirit, therefore, is to be number one. Your spirit is to be what rules and controls every other part of your being. Because it's through your spirit that God is going to control you. I appreciate all two amens and the three nods I got. Folks, I'm not trying to get you to shout. I'm really trying to be a blessing to you. Maybe y'all are different than everybody else. This may be the most spirit-filled church on the face of the earth, Pastor. I don't know. But if y'all are, y'all going to be the first one I've been in that's living their lives, spirit, soul, and body, because everybody I know is living body, soul, and spirit. I'm just trying to be practical. I'm trying to be right down where we live. And I'm trying to tell you the blessing is the blessing, a proper order. It's proper symmetry. It's your life being brought under the order of God, where your life is spirit first. And God is ruling your life through your spirit. And your soul has been brought into subjection to your spirit. And your body is then brought in subjection to your soul while God's ruling over all of it. Why do you think in Ephesians 5:18 we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit? Filled with the Spirit. That's the command of God for every believer tonight, correct? Be filled with the Spirit. What does it mean to be filled with the Spirit? It means that the Spirit of God is in control. The word filled is the Greek word that means to be controlled by something, to be controlled by someone. The filling is not necessarily some emotional feeling that you have. The filling is not some kind of ecstatic experience out there. The filling of the Spirit is the Spirit of God's control. It's His rule. It's His reign. It's His lordship. It's His leadership over your life. It is you being controlled in every part by the Spirit of God. The filling of the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit tonight. Where's He going to control you from? From your spirit. Where He's living and abiding and dwelling. Where He is enthroned. When you're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, Brother Jeremy, I believe with all my heart what he's saying is, get the order right. Live your life spirit, soul, and body, and make sure the Holy Spirit of God is ruling and reigning over all your parts. Make sure He's got the control. That's why in Galatians 5:16, Brother Earl, he tells us to walk in the Spirit. And if we're walking in the Spirit, step by step, day by day, we're walking in the Spirit. We will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He said, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16, and live in the Spirit. How are you to live your life? What's the Bible say, Galatians 5:16? You're to live your life in the Spirit. Just walking in the Spirit at all times. Not just when you come down to church in the morning and the pastor gets up and prays. You're going to try to get in the Spirit. Pay attention to the Spirit. You're going to try to live in the Spirit on Sunday. That's not going to work. The emphasis is for you to be filled, controlled, owned, ruled, reigned, governed by the Spirit to the point that you are always walking and living conscious of the Spirit's rule over your life at every moment. You understand that tonight? That's the order. That's the symmetry. Spirit's got to be number one. Because when that happens, God is ruling over my soul. That means He's ruling over my mind. And He's ruling over my emotions. And He's ruling over my will, my decisions, and my actions. And then because of that, He's ruling over my body. Remember what I told you? I'm about to move on and close. Remember what I told you? Your soul is going to take orders from whoever's number one. Soul's always going to be number two in your life, always. It's going to take orders from whoever's number one. If your body's number one and you're going to live according to the dictates, desires, and appetites of your body, then your soul's going to take its cues from your body. That's bad. That's bad. But if Spirit's number one and you're a spiritual person, man, woman, boy, and girl, and the Spirit of God's ruling and reigning over you, that means that your soul is taking its cues from the Spirit of God inside of your spirit. And He's ruling over that. And your body is third and in subjection to your spirit and your soul. Otherwise, your soul is taking all of its cues from your five senses. Right? The five physical senses of the body. You don't want those things dictating what's happening in here. You don't want to live your life from the outside in. It's going to make a mess of you. You want to be living your life from the inside out. Proper symmetry. Proper order. Why is that so important? Because it brings proper balance. If you don't have the right order of life every day of your life, do you know what's going to happen in your life? You're not going to have symmetry. By that I mean you are not going to have balance. Most of you who know me are familiar with my Volkswagen, which has been in the shop for 5 weeks. Prior to driving that Volkswagen, I went across this country in a 2004 Toyota Corolla. Can you imagine back then when I was living out of the Corolla, my son, who is now married and living at home, was also with us on the road. My wife, myself, my son, and my daughter, and all of our baggage loaded down in the Toyota Corolla. Brother Gene has a good little old car. good little cars. But for whatever reason, Brother Earl, that car always had front end trouble. I had to replace the bearings in the front wheels every 6 months. Every 6 months, set your watch by it, I had to replace them bearings. That car was the worst in the world, Shane, about getting out of line, getting out of alignment, and out of back. Can you imagine putting bearings, Brother Buddy, putting bearings in the front wheels every 6 months and then getting it realigned and the tires balanced? I'm talking about every week. I mean, I rebuilt that front end several times in that car. Now, it may have something to do with all that extra weight. I don't know. May have something to do with running 80 miles an hour in a little bitty car, weighted down with two times the weight that's recommended, hitting potholes on the interstate. I don't know, but I'll tell you this. When that car was out of line, oh goodness. Brother Kenny, when them birds would start grinding and going out, that front end would get out of line, them tires would get out of balance. I'd be running down the highway, I'd be running down the interstate, and that thing would be shaking like it had the palsy. It'd be pulling to the left like a Democrat. I didn't mean nothing by that but a joke, okay? But I'm telling you, it's the truth, man. That you talk about a rough ride. Couldn't hold the thing, sure wouldn't go straight, pulling to the left, rattling, shaking, vibrating, everything in the car. I'd take you down there and get them bearings put in the front tires. I'd get the front end realigned. I'd get the tires rebalanced. And when I get that thing in line, when I got it in alignment and I got things balanced, man, that thing would sit in the middle of the road and drive straight and just as smooth as glass until it get out of line again and go to pulling and shaking and carrying on. My son, when it was in line and balanced, man, it rode as straight and as smooth as any car I've ever had. I'm going to tell you something about your life tonight. Your life and my life's like that car. And if things in your life have proper alignment and balance, your life's going to go straight and it's going to go smooth. But now if you ain't got the proper alignment and you ain't living spirit, soul, and body, and God ain't doing His work in that order, from the spirit to the soul and the body, and you trying to live body first, do you understand what's happening in your life? You're completely out of line. You got a misalignment. You are out of balance. Do you understand that? And that's why for some of you tonight, you just can't stay straight. I mean, your life just won't go straight. You're always pulling off. You're always fighting with that pull and with that tendency. That's why some of your lives, it's a rocky journey. It's a rocky trip. It's a rough, shaky trip every day of your life. And you cannot figure out what's wrong. I came to tell you, here's what's wrong. If you'll get things in line. If you get some balance, you'd be surprised how straight and smooth things would begin to go in your life. It's got to be spirit, soul, and body. Folks, that's the blessing of how God does His work. From the spirit, through the spirit, then into the soul, and from the soul into the body. Get the order right. One last thing. There's not only the sanctity and the surety and the symmetry of God's work in us, but I want to call your attention to verse 23, to the serenity of God's work in us. Pastor, when I was studying and meditating on this verse, something kept arresting me at how the verse began. Do you notice how verse 23 begins? And the very God of peace, the God of peace, sanctify you wholly in your whole spirit and soul and body. It would have made good sense to me, Pastor, if the revelation here had been, and the God of power sanctify you wholly in your whole spirit, soul, and body.
It would have made perfect sense to me, Brother Earl. I would not have looked at this closer if it had said, "And the God of holiness." That would make perfect sense. Perfect logical sense in this text. If the revelation of God here had been the God of holiness, what do you expect the God of holiness to do to people? I expect him that he's going to sanctify them. You agree with that? I expect that the God of holiness is going to make people holy in their spirit and their soul and their body. Well, that would have made perfect sense to me, Brother George, if it said, "None the God of holiness sanctify you holy in your whole spirit, soul, and body." But here's the revelation of God. How's God revealing himself as the God who works in your spirit and in your soul and in your body, as the God who sanctifies you holy, the God who is faithful, the God who's going to do his work? What is the revelation of God that he gives of himself in this inner working in all of our parts? It's this, that he is the God of peace. That is not coincidental or incidental. I believe that's in there, and I believe it with all of my heart, that when God does his work and your life is lived with a proper order and symmetry and balance, the peace of God is going to rule and control your experience and your existence. Did y'all get that? What happens when you're out of alignment and out of order and you're living life wrong from the outside in? Man, there ain't going to be no peace. I'm telling you, when I was running up and down the road in that Corolla out of line, it was not a peaceful ride or journey. Son, that car had great peace when everything was lined up and balanced out right. It was great peace going up and down the road. And you ain't never going to know the experience of the God of peace. You are not going to experience God as the very God of peace. You are not going to know him and be conscious of him and aware of him in your personal experience as the God of peace until your life has the proper symmetry, spirit, soul, and body. So let me close tonight. On a practical note, I want to give you just a practical word in conclusion about the serenity and the peace of God ruling over the entirety of our being as he sanctifies us in this order, spirit, soul, and body. And I want to say some things that I hope won't be controversial. I hope that you'll hear me out. I'm not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. Don't claim to be one. I'm a preacher. But the Bible has a lot to say about a man's spirit and his soul and his body. And I think the world of psychiatry and psychology would do very well to get in the Word of God and see what it says about the inner man. We live in a day and an hour. Listen, I read this excerpt from the medical journal, the psychiatric journal in the United States of America. I read this excerpt. It said that all the research and stats prove inexplicably that in the United States of America at this present time, that in spite of the exponential increase of doctors who deal with mental and emotional disorders, do you understand that that is a booming profession in the medical field? Brother Gene can verify this. This is a booming part of the medical field, doctors who specialize in mental and emotional disorders. Do you understand that we have far, far, far more of those than we have ever had before? Ever. That field of treatment is growing exponentially. And the excerpt from the American Psychological Journal said not only that in spite of the exponential growth in doctors who treat mental and emotional disorders, that at the same time there is also an exponential growth in medications that treat mental and psychological disorders. New antidepressants, antipsychotics, medicines abounding
that previous generations, doctors abounding, that previous generations have never known anything about. We are more equipped medically today to deal with mental and psychological, emotional disorders, both from the doctoral standpoint and the medicinal standpoint. We are far more equipped to that and capable for that than in any other generation in the history of the world. But here is what the American Psychological Journal excerpt that I read said. That in spite of the growth in this field, what is inexplicable? Are you ready? Is that people in our generation are 3 times more likely to suffer from mental and emotional disorders. 3 times more likely than the previous generation. Listen, preachers didn't get together and get this up. This is what our own Journal of Medicine in the field of psychology tells us, that all of their research has shown that in spite of the growing number of doctors and medications, every generation of our society is 3 times more likely to suffer from depression, anxiety, stress, worry, fear, etc. You know, it doesn't make sense, does it? Does that make sense to anybody? You'd think if you had more doctors trained to handle this and more medications to deal with this stuff, you would think that this would be a problem that we could look at and say, that's on decline. Brother Kermit, it's getting better. Everybody's getting better. The research says that these problems triple in every generation, so that your children are going to be 3 times more likely to suffer from depression, despondency, anxiety, etc. than you are. Your grandchildren are going to be 6 times more likely to be plagued with this. Your great-grandchildren will be 9 times more likely to suffer. These disorders are growing and growing and growing and growing and growing. One thing that one diagnosis of these disorders is that they all stem, this is from the medical side, that they all stem from a chemical imbalance in the body. So the problem is the body. If we can correct the imbalances in your body, then everything will be fine in your mind, in your emotion, in your will. You know, your soul will be fine if we can just correct the imbalances that are in your body. Now, this is what I believe tonight, that number one, there is such a thing as chemical imbalances in the body. I believe that. Now, I know preachers that don't believe that. They think that's hocus pocus, hoodoo, voodoo, and that stuff don't ain't even real. But I tell you, I believe it's real. My wife wants me to share in closing her personal experience and testimony with the things that, you know, because I'm going to use her. I'll use her and me as I close tonight. And I want you to know in doing it that, this she wants me to do it. Okay, I'm not just talking about her and trying to embarrass her. She's not uncomfortable with this. If her experience can help somebody else, she wants her experience to help. So we're not trying to hide nothing tonight. We're just transparent people. Y'all should learn that about me by now. We're just transparent people. My wife knows what it's like to have chemical imbalances in her body. She knows what it's like to be allergic to the man-made protein called gluten. And she knows what it's like for that gluten intolerance in her body to react negatively in her body and cause fatigue and depression and despondency and discouragement and anxiety and all of these other things. So I certainly believe that there is such a thing as chemical imbalances in the body. And I believe that doctors are good to help deal with those imbalances in the body. And I believe that medications are good. I'll tell you now, and my wife will tell you, there have been times that I asked her, because she has been on antidepressants, and there have been times I asked, did you take your pills? Are you sure you took your pills? Pills are good. Amen? I'm an advocate. If you need medicine for those things, you ought to take medicine for those things. But I also know this in my own experience and in my wife's experience, in addition to chemical imbalances due to intolerances of certain areas of nutrition that affected her body adversely, my wife would be the first one to tell you that there were also imbalances in her system far beyond just those of her body. The first church that I tried to pastor nearly killed me and her. Brother Kermit, I don't believe that she's been the same person since the first church that I pastored. Those people tried to kill me. I had three old ladies in my church that would come down every Sunday morning and Sunday night when I was done preaching, and they would fall in the altar every Sunday morning and Sunday night and pray out loud for God to kill me and bring me down to hell out loud for everybody to hear. And if they were willing to do that, you can imagine all the other things they were willing to do to me and my family. My wife nearly lost her mind. The second church that I pastored, which I am still currently the pastor of, amazingly and inexplicably, was worse in the beginning than the first church I tried to pastor. I don't know if my wife has ever completely recovered from that. But I learned two things about me and about her. She learned this about her and about me, is that we dealt with some things early on that we were not spiritually ready to deal with. We were not mature enough. Our life was not well enough ordered, spirit, soul, and body yet, for us to be able to handle them things. You understand that? And we didn't handle those things well at all. She's got chemical problems and gluten intolerances and all that kind, but I'm telling you, her problem, just like mine, and I believe probably your problem, goes beyond the chemical. There is a root cause that goes beyond just what's happening in our bodies. Y'all with me tonight? And I'm convinced that if you've got a problem in your body that's causing ill effect on your spirit, on your soul and your spirit, I'm convinced tonight it's a good thing to take medications and seek help. You know why? Because those medications and those helps will help you treat your symptoms. Do you know why the mental and emotional health profession is seeing the increase that they're seeing with the problem? The problem's growing. Because all that they can do is treat the symptoms. They cannot cure the deepest part of the problem. Now, treating the symptoms is good. That's like something like AA and rehab. I know some preachers, they curse that down to hell. They think that's the most awful thing in the world. I tell people, AA and rehab is not the church. It will not take you all the way that you need to go. But it can be a good thing to help you get all your symptoms under control. And maybe if you get your symptoms under control enough, you might get enough sanity and stability in your life to go beyond them symptoms to the cause. If there's somebody here tonight that struggles with mental and emotional disorder, and you've been diagnosed bipolar, chronic depression, etc., they have you on medication for that, don't feel bad. My wife's not embarrassed for me. You know, when she started, she said she didn't want to take those pills and things. She said, everybody would say, I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. I don't want nobody saying you're crazy. Okay? Take your medications. But understand in taking your medications that they are a treatment for your symptoms. I'll prove it. You ever notice anybody that's on those medications? They're always adjusting them and adjusting them and adjusting them and adjusting them. Now, you don't just get on one and 50 years later, you're still on the same med. You know, they're always, you know why? Because something inside of you starts adjusting and adapting to that. And so they're always experimenting, trying to deal with the symptoms. If there's something in your body that causes you problems, you're allergic, you need to get that right in your nutrition. You need whatever's causing your body to negatively react, get it out of there. If there are medications that can bring some stability and some sanity
and some order into these symptoms, then bring it. But understand, these medications cannot cure you. They can only treat your symptoms, right? I have a pastor friend, and I won't call his name, but his wife, she's ready to leave him. He's a good preacher and a good pastor. And his wife, she's about lost her mind and gone crazy. We don't even know who she is anymore. She's not even the same person. We don't know who she is. Brother Allen, she is not the same. They've been married 20-something years, not the same person. He doesn't know who this woman is he's married to. She's spiraling deeper and deeper and deeper, and he's trying to get her to take her medication. He's asked me, do you think she ought to be? What do you think? I said, she needs to take her pills. Crush them up and put them in her water if you have to. She needs to take her pills. He said to me, Pastor, do you think that this will fix her? I said, no, but they will treat her symptoms. And here's what you have to pray, that if she can get her symptoms in order, that she'll have enough clarity to look beyond the symptoms to something deeper than what's happening in her body. Are you with me? I do not believe tonight that if your life is completely ordered, spirit, soul, and body, that your body is always going to be healthy and whole and you're going to live forever, never going to die. You still get cancer. You still get the flu and the sinus cold. But I don't think anybody here would argue that the majority of physical ailments plaguing people in this society are psychosomatic. What I mean by that is they're caused not because of what's wrong in their body, but something that's wrong deeper in their soul and their spirit. Because when things ain't right in your soul and your spirit, it ain't going to be right in your body either. And your body's going to react to try to tell you. It's trying to tell you something's wrong down in here. Just because you get the flu now don't mean nothing. Just because you've got the sinus cold don't mean something's wrong inside of you. But especially these chronic ailments in the body that the doctors say, we don't know. You got an autoimmune deficiency. Nothing we can do about that. You're just going to get sicker and sicker and sicker, and so we're going to give you 40 prescriptions. You could get cancer tonight and be living your life, spirit, soul, and body. Do you understand? I'm trying to make sure that we're not confused tonight. But I want you to understand there's a lot of things going on with us out here that really is a cry from down in here. It's trying to tell us that things ain't right in here and it's just working its way out in all the parts. You understand? Here's what's happened in my wife and my life. This is what is happening. We ain't got there yet. My wife's got enough stability through the medications where she could start looking inside at deeper problems to what was really going on in her spirit and in her soul. Realizing that for so much of her Christian experience, she has not been controlled from her spirit by the Spirit. She's allowed the body to control, and her soul has dealt with all kind of imbalance, emotional upheaval. Things she didn't even understand, depression, fatigue, crying, all over everywhere, uncontrollably. You know what I've seen happening in her life in recent years? A deepening of the spiritual. A reordering and rebalancing of her life. You understand? Becoming more conscious of the Spirit and the Spirit's place, control, authority, rule, and reign in her life, yielding to that. Brother George, her mind becoming clear, her emotions becoming more stable, her body becoming much, much more healthy. Do y'all know what she did? She did not tell me this because I would not have allowed it.
Do you know what she did back in April of this past year, 2014? 6-7 months ago. She had been on antidepressants for about the last 17 years. Some of you know my son got married this summer. That was in June when he got married. Did some of you know what all goes into a wedding? Do you know what she did, Brother Allen, in April of this past April? She secretly, without my knowledge, decided that she... You know, they say with those pills, don't ever try to take yourself off in pills. Don't do that. Don't do that. Now, hey, listen, I'm telling you, don't do that. You know what I told her? Don't you do that. And you sure don't do it cold turkey. Mess you up. You talk about going off the reservation, you'll go off the reservation. Don't just decide you're fine tonight. You know why she didn't tell me what she was going to do? Because she knowed I wouldn't let her do it. She took herself off in medications. All of them. Well, that wedding coming up, it made a lot of sense to me to wait till the wedding's over and then give it a try. We'll just see, you know. She took herself off in April. I didn't know. You know when she told me? First part of June. She said, I never did tell you. I didn't want you to know. I want to see how I do. But she said, I hadn't taken my medicine since April. And I didn't even notice. I had not noticed, Brother Buddy. I did not notice from April through June. I didn't notice that she had not taken any medications at all. Completely normal. And you know what she said to me? She said, if I get through this wedding without having to take them pills, I may be healed. And she made it through the wedding. And listen to me now. There have been some times since April that I thought, I don't know, she's stressed out pretty bad. I think you're completely healed when your spirit, soul, and body, and you're ruled in that order completely, entirely, totally, forever. I don't know that we're getting there in this life totally, but I tell you this, she's learned that if every day she lives her life, spirit, soul, and body in the Spirit, she's going to be fine for that day. She's going to be fine for that day. Now some days, hon, things start getting a little out of order, don't they? And she knows. I've got to be in tune with the Spirit of God. I'm not going to put that stuff in my body, that gluten and stuff. I know that stuff messes me up, but I'm not just going to focus on what's wrong in my body. I'm going to make sure that I'm living from the spirit to the soul to the body. And you know what? She ain't the only one. I hadn't been on medication for it. I probably needed to be. I was probably just too stubborn and hard-headed. But I found, Pastor, the more my life is submitted to the Spirit of God and His control, and He orders and rules and reigns and controls my life, that my mind and my emotions and my will are operating in peace. Peace. Do you understand what's happening when you're depressed and you're despondent and you're full of fear and worry and anxiety and stress and anger and bitterness, that you don't have peace? You don't have peace. No peace. Do you understand that the God of peace communicates peace as He sanctifies you in your spirit, soul, and body? And if that is not the proper order and balance of your life, you cannot have peace. Do you understand tonight that the blessing, this is the benediction, this is the blessing, it's peace.
Do you know what everything inside of you yearns and longs and craves for? Brother Gene prayed it tonight. It is for peace. Do you know what those patients that Brother Gene deals with every? Do you know what they yearn for? Oh, just some peace. Something to quiet their mind and their emotions and their will. Something to settle them. You know that's what you want. If you're here and you're lost and you've never been saved, you can try to find peace in a bottle. You can try to find peace in a needle. You can try to find peace in a recreation and entertainment. You can try to find peace in the arms of an illicit relationship. But it'll only leave you with more unrest and turmoil. You know what your heart longs for. There ain't nothing like peace with God. There ain't nothing like the peace of God ruling all your parts. You understand? Ain't nothing like that. If you're here tonight and you're lost, there's only peace in knowing the God of peace. I believe, Brother Gene, you use this little phrase, peace in a wild and crazy world. This is a wild and crazy world. There is no peace to the wicked. But Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And child of God, child of God, as you yield your life to the work of the Lord in you, you move deeper and deeper and deeper into that peace. You get that? That peace. The opposite of peace is unrest, turmoil, upheaval. You know we've got that in all of our parts, don't we? You know what it's like for your body to be fatigued? You know, we get up too early and go to bed too late and work too hard and burn the candle at both ends. Man, we ain't got no peace out here, fatigued. That's what, you know, God gave us the principle. I know I've got to stop. God gave us the principle of Sabbath. Sabbath. Rest. Cessation of all work. Jesus said man was not created for the Sabbath. Sabbath was created. Sabbath's not a curse. It's not like this, you know, I know it's a part of the law, but it's not like this, oh, you know, I got this. It's a blessing that God gave to you. Because all this out here needs a day of rest, at least every week. We're fatigued in our body. We're fatigued in our mind. You know, our minds are bombarded with information like no society that's ever lived. You get bombarded with information at work, bombarded with information at school, bombarded with information at church, bombarded with information on the television, bombarded with information on the news, bombarded with information on the internet. Your minds are wore out. We're emotionally fatigued and unrest. You know, we've got all this swirl of negative emotions and anger and bitterness and jealousy and covetousness, worries and fears and anxieties and depressions and what-ifs. And we get so emotionally drained and fatigued because we try to repress those negative things in our emotion. You know, we try to hold those things down like trying to hold a beach ball down in a pool, you know. It's always popping up, snapping, going off, coming out. Y'all got this? We're just fatigued and messed up. No rest, no peace, no nothing. Just We're a mess. A hot mess is what we are. I want to tell you something about God. He is the very God of peace. He's not only omnipotent and omniscient and omnipresent. He has omni-peace. And God don't get tired. He's not fatigued. And when God is controlling and ruling you, spirit, and through your spirit, your soul, and through your spirit and your soul and your body, there is this flow and communication of peace and serenity to all of your parts. That is the blessing. The blessing.